Okay, Ecclesiastes chapter 1, and let's just read verse 6. I've got a lot of other scriptures to read as we go through this, but we'll start off with this. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 6. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 6. The wind goeth toward the south, and turneth about unto the north. It whirleth about continually. And the wind returneth again according to his circuits. All right, what we're going to talk about here tonight for just a few minutes here is the wind will blow. That's just a fact of life. And you need to look at this in the context of how it affects the things that affect your life. We're going to look at the wind, because there's a lot of scripture about wind. I didn't realize it until I started looking about this, and my, there's way more than I dreamed about in the Bible. God talks about it a lot. He uses it a lot to accomplish a lot of different things. The wind. It's a big deal. The winds, first of all, they're under the control of God. Now, we got lots of scripture to read to prove that. They're not in chaos. They're not arbitrary, but are under God's command, the wind. The wind is under God's command. Wind is something, it affects you, it affects the things around you, it affects your life. All right, the winds we're talking about are the things that happen in your life. Think of that as we go through this here. Things that change your life have the same effect on your life that the wind does on the physical world. The winds are not arbitrary. They're not chaos. It's not a chance thing. They're under the control of God. Exodus 15, verse 10, thou didst blow with thy wind. The sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. Now, you know what that's talking about. The children of Israel crossed the Red Sea. What happened the night before? The sea parted and there was a what?
Wind.
An east wind. And it blew all night and dried up the ground where the ocean had been on top of it, the sea. So then when they went through, what happened? Another wind. It changed things and the waters fell on the Egyptians. That's what we just read there. That is blow with thy wind and the sea covered them. And they sank as sand, as lead in the mighty waters. I got to move my paper. I'm shadowing it and I can't read. All right. Psalm 78 and verse 6. He caused an east wind to blow in the heaven. And by his power he brought in the south wind. There it is, referring to the same instance again. The he is God. God called the wind. The wind obeys his voice. Yes, it does. Psalm 147, verse 18, he sendeth out his word and melteth them. He's talking about the snow and the ice. And he causeth his wind to blow and the waters flow. He melts the snow and stuff with what? The wind. You notice how fast it went away today? The wind started blowing before it got real cold. It was still enough above freezing to, boy, the wind just got rid of that snow real quick. Psalm 107, verse 25, for he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind. Do you believe God's in control of the wind? I mean, we're establishing this fact here to get off the ground. God's in control of the wind. He calls it, he commands it, and it blows wherever he wants it to blow, however hard he wants it to blow. When he wants it to blow, God commands. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. Psalm 107, verse 29, a few verses down. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Now, we've seen that happen in the New Testament when Jesus and the disciples were on the boat, and the sea was stormy and tossed, and he was in the boat asleep, and they said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Because the boat was about to sink. The Bible says the boat was about to get full of water. And he got up and he said, O ye of little faith. And he commanded the winds and the waves to be still. And what happened? they obeyed his voice. And the disciples said, "What manner of man is this, that the winds and the waves obey his voice?" Well, I'm just trying to get across to you tonight. The Bible's real clear about this. It's God who commands the wind. So anytime there's wind blowing on you, you can realize that. Blowing on your life. Hope you'll get it as we go through this here tonight. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 26. "And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm." Luke 8, verse 25, "And they being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and water, and they obey him." Psalm 135, verse 7, "He causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings for the rain. He bringeth the wind out of his treasuries." Jonah 1, chapter 1, verse 4, "But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken." Now the ship's about to sink that Jonah's on. Who sent the wind? Did they just happen to run into a storm? Did it just happen? Was it a natural thing that just happened? No. It says right there that the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. Because it's under God's command and control, we can't tell when or where it comes from or where it goes when it's passed. It's like Jesus talked about in John chapter 3. You remember when he's talking to Nicodemus and he uses the wind to explain to Nicodemus and to illustrate to him how it is with the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God working in a man is like the wind. "The wind bloweth," Jesus said, "where it listeth. And thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." It's a work of God. You can't tell where it's coming from, when it's coming from. No man, even now, they can't put their finger on where it's coming from or where it went when it's over. That's the way the wind is. It's a kind of a mysterious thing. Now, we know scientifically what causes the wind, but we know from the Word of God that it's God who commands the wind. Man can't predict the wind. Now, he can predict windy days. You know, the weatherman tells us now, tomorrow the wind's going to be out south, southeast at 10, 25 mile an hour, blah, blah, blah. And they're usually right about that. Overall, you can predict a windy day. You can predict a windy season. This is March. This is the time we fly kites. Why? Because there's a lot of wind in March. Normally, if everything is normal, March is a windy month. Now we know that. There's seasons, there's times and when there's more wind than there is at other times. There are seasons when there are real strong winds, like we're coming up here on spring, tornado season around here, strong winds. Summer is hurricane season. And all around the coast, they'll be looking out for that, because what is a hurricane? Wind. That's what it is. What is a tornado? Wind in excess. I mean, it's wind exaggerated. So man can't predict it. It's God's business. It's a thing God does. It's out of our control. We can't do one thing about it. I mean, if man could do anything, don't you think he'd do something about the wind? Harness it, control it, put reins on it. Stop it from blowing everything away. Stop it from fanning the wildfires when the fires are going out there and they can't control them. Looks like man would try to control the wind. He ain't even tried because he can't. It's beyond his ability to do anything about it. He thinks he's God of the universe. Thinks he can shake his fist in the face of Almighty God. Thinks he can blow up the world or kill the whole world with his carbon footprint. Nonsense. Can't even control the wind. He can't even tell where it comes from, where it goes. He's at its mercy completely. Since the winds are under God's control, that means they're certainly not under man's control. You need to remember that about your life. Troubles. Wind can be trouble. Wind can be a blessing too. Wind is all these things. It's a good thing. We need it. But boy, it can be too much of it can be destructive. Too little of it can be destructive, oppressive, unpleasant. It's not good when there's no wind, but it's not good when there's too much of it. But we ain't got no control over that. And God does. He has the control stick. He has His finger on the button, the knob. He can turn it up or down ever how He, in His wisdom, sees fit. And He does. And so we cannot do it. There's not a thing we can do to make the wind blow or to make the wind stop blowing. Best we can do is build us a little fan that blows air on us. Or make a fan and do like this. And that's all we... Boy, that's a pitiful wind, ain't it? Since the winds are under God's control, they're not under ours. We don't know when to expect it or where to expect it from. But we know that we got to expect it because it is coming. You know, wind always kind of gets you by surprise, don't it? You ever been outside with an umbrella and the wind catch you and turn your umbrella inside out? Was it Zach at the time had the sheet of plywood and it blew him off down the hillside? Yes. Yeah. If you could see it coming, you could avoid that stuff, but you can't see it coming. The wind just gets you by surprise. It blows all of a sudden. It blows stuff in your eyes. You ever been around a sawmill where there's a lot of sawdust flying in the air and the wind blowing? Boy, it is not pleasant. Or in a field where dirt and stuff's loose, it's not pleasant. The dirt gets in your eyes. But we know to expect it. It's going to blow. The wind will blow. That's what our verse said here. The wind goeth toward the south and turneth about to the north. And it whirleth about continually. And the wind returneth again according to its circuits. The wind is going to blow. That's a fact of life. You need to understand that about your life. Sometimes the wind is going to be contrary. Acts 27 verse 4. When we had launched from thence, we sailed under Cyprus because the winds were contrary. I remember a message one time on contrary winds. Do you ever feel like everything's working against you? Do you ever feel like you're trying to sail that way, but the wind's blowing you back this way? That does happen. In your life, you're going to have contrary winds. I mean, those seasons are going to be there. It's not just floating down the river on a rotten log, taking it easy. That ain't what it is. Nope. There's going to be times when there's contrary winds. Matthew chapter 14, verse 24. Bible says this, "But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary." We were talking the other day, and I was thinking about, we was reading John Newton, the book, you know, and a lot of it's him on a boat or a ship because that's what he was. And did you ever think about it? We've got all of our ships now have power. They have an engine that powers them. Those sailboats didn't have any power. And you know, if you know anything at all, and I don't know much, but I know this much about a ship, and I've watched them on videos and stuff in the ocean, and a sailor knows, one of the basic things he knows is that you've got to keep that ship headed into the waves. If you get sideways with the wave, you're gonna... I mean, it's going to capsize you. And so they've got power where they can do that. You know, even in a storm can overwhelm them, but they have power. They can keep turning that boat. Do you ever think about a sailboat? You have nothing going for you. When you get in a storm on the sea in a sailboat, you are just at the mercy of the wind and the waves. The boat was tossed about, in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, and the wind was contrary. So, you're going to sink. That's what's going to happen to you. I mean, you just better say your prayers, sailor, because you're going to the bottom. Seas full of ships and dead sailors. There's what floor of the ocean's covered with them. The wind was mighty important to them. They had to know it, and they had to understand it, and they had to know how to work with it. Contrary winds will prevent us from going where God doesn't want us to go. All right? Now, what did we establish right out of the gate here? Who commands the winds? God. So if the wind is contrary to you, it's a good chance that God's got his hand up holding you back. Why don't you just not fight it so hard? We got this thing in us too much of determination to do our own thing. It's pretty much wrecked the work of God in this generation. Because men have their own agendas and their own ideas about success and what all this is about. And they're doing their own thing. I mean, regardless, they're going to get it done. They've powered their ship. And they're going to force her through, regardless. And despite the wind, in spite of the wind, don't do that in your life. Now, I'm not saying you just take the path of least resistance, but when the wind's contrary, you better sit down and take notice about everything. Better take stock of it all and just see. Don't go against the wind in your life. It's God's got control of the wind. The devil doesn't. The devil doesn't have control of the wind. It may very well push us back and cause us to lose ground that we've gained. Now, sometimes that's the contrary winds do that. They set you back. They push you back. But remember, if God sent the wind, then maybe you needed to be set back. Maybe I needed to be set back. As you go through life and you experience those things, as you get down the road, you can look back on it and say, you know, that was right. Boy, it's a good thing that that happened that way. Set me back. It may be so strong and violent, the wind may be, that it destroys our little world and our works. I seen the other day where Billy and Dorothy had a tornado come. Well, it come right past their house, didn't it? And tore up everything. I don't know. Did it hit their house?
All it did was tore off their electric box, their meter.
Yeah. That's too close. I mean, you get too, you know, that's what wind can do. We've all seen what tornadoes do to houses and mobile homes, but it'll do the same thing to a house. Tornado hit a house, it's a goner. I mean, it's gone. I mean, and it happens fast too. Just boom, it's just like a bomb goes off and it's gone. That's what the wind can do to you. It's what the wind can do to your life too. There's a lot of times in your life where you're going to get hit with a gust of wind that's contrary. It ain't a blessing, and it ain't at the time. You don't think it is. And it'll set you back. Sometimes the wind will be a blessing. Job chapter 37, verse 17. How thy garments are warm when he quieteth the earth by the south wind. Now, we're in the wintertime here, and it's March, and we think we ought to be getting close to getting out of it, and we are. I mean, we're all looking forward to the warm wind, ain't we? Those warm breezes. We ain't looking forward to the stormy nights, but we're looking forward to the warm breezes. When you can go outside without a coat on, and you can sit on the porch, and you can, and not have to freeze to death and hurt and get bit by the cold like that. And I mean, we're looking forward to that. That's going to be a pleasant thing, ain't it? And we're waiting on the south winds. Even in the wintertime, when the wind comes from the south, we get a little warmer weather. That's the way it is. Winds from the south mean it's going to warm up. When it comes from the north, that's what's happening right now. Say we're going to be in a deep freeze for the next day or two. So, and that didn't come from the south. That's coming from the north. Acts chapter 27 and verse 13. And when the south wind blew softly, Supposing they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. Now, then it turned bad on them because there was a big storm come up. Because mark this. The nice, warm, comfortable, comforting breezes a lot of times are followed by storms. Big, strong winds that tear up things and disrupt everything and damage things. They were on the ship. Boy, that soft southern breeze started blowing. They said, oh, let's go. They got out on the sea, and they got in trouble quick. Got in one of them bad storms. It even had a name, Euryclodon or something like that. They can be the force that stops us from moving forward. They can be the force that keeps us moving forward to our desired haven. Nothing worse in the sailing days of the sailboats and ships when is being dead in the water, no wind. When the wind blew gently, that was ideal for sailing. Just a steady wind. They could just set the sail and right across the water they went. So it helps us. The good, soft winds help us to get to our destination. What is your destination, pilgrim? Huh? Ain't it to finish this journey without drowning and sinking in the sea? Ain't it to get to the other side safely? And anchor like the song we sang a while ago on heaven's shore? They can bring relief from the oppressive heat. You know, in the summertime, that's when we have the least wind. In the hot days of July and August, we have the least wind. And you know how it is. It's just oppressive. The sun's bearing down. The wind won't blow. You can't even get a breeze. It just makes such a difference if the wind just blows a little bit. You all know what a relief it is, and what a drink. It's just like a drink of cold water when in the hot summer day when the breeze just comes across. We got a big fan we set up to blow on us, but it just blows in one spot and it just ain't the same. One little puff of a breeze just does way more than a fan does. And that fan is blowing steady, the noise and it gets irritating. It's better than sweltering, but it's not like the breeze, the wind. It can comfort you. You'll have things like that in your life too. There's things that come along that just refresh you. Blessings of life. There's people that'll come through your life, just blow through your life, that were a refreshment like a breeze on a hot day. They can take away, when the wind's blowing like that, in the summertime too, if you sit out on the porch, if the wind's blowing just a little bit, it keeps all them gnats and mosquitoes from just swarming all around your face. Do you ever notice that? Takes away the pests and the things that just torment us, flying in our faces and biting us. Y'all getting into this?
Yes.
Yeah, are you getting the application of this? Are the winds contrary now? Or what kind of winds are you experiencing in your life? Well, if you're not experiencing any, you better get a hold of something, because the wind will blow. It's a certain thing. It is going to blow. And God in heaven will make sure of that. I guarantee you, it will. Winds able to accomplish a lot of different things. God uses the wind to do these things here. Let me just name a couple of three here, and then we'll go eat our soup and all of that. But the wind scatters things. We go up there to work every once in a while after we've had a storm or something, and there'll be stuff all over the ground. It blows the tin off, blows the boards off the lumber stack, blows the trash can over, blows everything off the shelf. Blows the tarp down. Scatters it all over the place. Jeremiah chapter 49, verse 36. And upon Elam will I bring the four winds from the four quarters of heaven, and will scatter them toward all those winds. And there shall be no nation, whether the outcast of Elam shall not come. See, God's going to blow them all over the earth with the wind. Scatter them. That's what the wind does. The wind's also good for separating the chaff from the wheat. They always use that. They had somebody fanning. They would throw it up in the air, and the wind would blow the chaff away. The wind blows the worthless stuff away. Remember that. If the wind's hard and unpleasant, it's accomplishing a good purpose in your life. And who sent it? God. That's right. Don't blame it to circumstance. Don't blame it on somebody else. Don't blame it on and get aggravated about it. And don't get bitter about it. Just accept the fact that God commands the winds. And the winds do these things. This is what wind does. Sometimes it scatters stuff. It'll blow you off course or move you out of the right way. It can do that. It can do that. You know, if you're sailing on the sea or if you're flying in an airplane, you always have to take into account the wind. If you're shooting a gun and a bullet, you have to take into account the wind if you want to hit the target where you're aiming. To navigate through life, you have to take this matter into account. If you want to arrive safely at the other side where you're aiming to go. They said when the pilgrims came, they missed the mark. They were aiming at another place and they ended up at Plymouth Rock. Why? Well, the wind and the waves got them off course. Got them, and so you have to take that into account. There's another aspect of that that the Bible makes real clear about it here in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So the wind can blow you off course. You ever see anybody get blown off course? I have. Have some trouble in their life and it causes them to abandon things that are true and embrace things that are false. Because of their pain, because of their grief, because of their loss, and they're looking for comfort and sympathy and everything else, it changed what they believed about God. And salvation, and church, and the work of God, and everything. They got blown off course. You know, by the sleight of men. I've seen others get deceived by people and blown off course. Just like the verse said here. Jude, verse 12. These are spots in your feast of charity. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds. Trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Now what was their problem? They were carried about of winds. That's what they were like. Jude's describing these false prophets and false professors in the church, and they were unstable. They weren't anchored. They were just blowing around with the wind like a tumbleweed, like a piece of paper or trash out here in the yard when the wind blows. Do you ever have something, you drop something outside when the wind's blowing, a paper or something, and then try to catch it? It's pretty hard to do, ain't it? You got to run. You run to get it, and just as you reach for it, off it goes again. It's a power that can be harnessed by man to generate power and to pump water. Men have used it through all of the ages for that. And it blows away the dust and the dirt that accumulates on things. The wind. Wind's a thing that cleanses. It does. It blows the junk off where it all settles in the stillness, junk settles on everything. You put your car under a carport or in a garage somewhere and you go back to get it. You see these things now, they're always finding these. They're on the hunt for all these old cars and barns and stuff where people had them. When they pull them out of there, what do they look like? They are covered with dirt. So you can't even hard tell what they are. That's because they hadn't been in the wind at all. Hadn't been no wind blowing in there where they're at. They're in the stillness. They're covered with dirt and filthy. And you can't hard tell what they are. Can't use them till they get cleaned off. So the wind's a good thing for that. It helps you. It'll help you to stay clean. Troubles of life are good for us. And God knows that. And God doesn't put on us more than we're able to bear. He gives us just the right dose of what we need. Now, if you believe God and you trust God and you're living for God and you're committed to God and to live for Him, then you can take it. You can take the wind. It ain't going to blow you off course. You're anchored. We sang the song a while ago. We have an anchor. Do you? Do you have an anchor? Better be anchored to something. We was reading about John Newton in that storm, and he went out and lashed himself to the main mast on the ship. So he wouldn't, because just as soon as he come out, one of the others got washed overboard. The waves were coming plumb over the ship, and there was no way. The only way to stay on was to tie yourself to something. Lord, deliver me from ever being in a situation like that. I'm a land lover, let me tell you. They can have the sea. That's for somebody else. Anybody else want to do that, they can just have at it. I remember old Tony come here, and he was black, you know, and they found some ticks on the dog, and I mean, they packed up and went home. I said, they ain't doing that. They was scared to death of them ticks. But he was going to buy a fishing boat and go out on the ocean fishing, and he wanted me to go with him. And I said, ain't no way. You think again, pal, ain't no way. I'm getting on a boat now. And I said, you fall off of that boat and a shark will eat you, or something else will eat you, because everything in there is giant and got teeth. And he thought that was real funny. He wasn't scared of them, but he was a tick. Scared him to death. That's kind of how people are. So some people are sailors and go at it, but not me. Nope. I don't like it. I'll get all the wind I need right here on the land. There's been times when life's been pretty easy. You know, it's smooth sailing. You know what I mean? And there's other times when it just ain't. The winds are contrary. And you just can't make any headway in things. You know, I'm talking about everything. I'm not talking about just making a living, that. But there's a lot of other things. Raising your children. Going to church. Churches are the same way. Sometimes it's smooth sailing and sometimes it's stormy seas. Sometimes the wind's contrary. And you think it's going to turn the ship over. But God is in control of all that. You need to understand that and always remember that. In your marriage, in your home, you need to understand that it ain't always going to be just wonderful, wonderful, fairy tale, Cinderella, love story. Amen. It's just not going to be that way. Because the wind blows. The wind blows. Sometimes it feels good and sometimes it don't feel good. Sometimes it's a great help and sometimes it's a great destructive force in your life. It's funny to me, you watch where you see these news reports where a tornado hits and blows somebody's house away. And you see them, or down on the coast when a hurricane comes in and blows everything flat to the ground. And you talk, they go out and talk to the people. What do they always say they're going to do? Rebuild. Yeah. I'm talking about lost, worldly people that don't have any understanding at all about what we're talking about here tonight. But that's what they say. Well, it blew our house away, but we're just going to build her back again. Well, How in the world is it that people with no purpose really have that kind of attitude? A Christian ought to have much more than that. He ought to have much more than that. Shouldn't let the wind blow you over. Shouldn't let the wind blow you off course. You shouldn't just give up because the wind blew everything away, apparently. Because it don't do that in our life. Now, sometimes he does subtract from us with the wind. But there's always a reason and there's always a blessing in it. If you'll hang in there long enough and not jump ship. Amen. All right, let me read. I got another verse or two to read here. The winds of life will come to test us. Now, you all know this little story that Jesus told in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24 through 27. Therefore, whosoever heareth these things of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew. Because they always do. The one man built his house on the rock, the winds blew. The man built his house on the sand, the winds blew. Blew one of them down. Didn't blow the other one down. And every Sunday school student has heard this story sometime in their life. It's one of the things that's good for Sunday school teaching. But what was the difference? And what did Jesus say the deal was? And the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. One of them, what was the difference in the two men? One of them kept the commandments and obeyed the Lord. The other one didn't. The one that kept the Lord's commandments and did them, his house stood. He was the one who built his house on a rock. The one that didn't, his house fell because it was built on sand. When the winds came, it didn't stand. So that's a rich thing right there. I mean, it's a very important tool for you to have to discern about people. When the winds blow in their life and their house falls in and that's the end of it, they were a foolish person and built their house on the sand. They didn't keep the Lord's commandments. They didn't obey the Lord. You obey the Lord, you got His promise. You got to have your foundation, sure, because when the wind comes, you can't do a thing about it then. Mexicans always told me, they said, why in the world? They asked me, said, why in the world do you people up there build your houses out of wood and then the storms come, blow them down, and you just build them again out of wood? What is the matter with you? Why? We build our houses out of concrete here. And I said, yeah, and then the earthquake comes and it falls on top of you and squashes you. But one thing about it, a concrete house, and it, with the exception of an earthquake, it lasts. Yes, sir. Can't burn them down. They don't rot down. Termites won't eat them. Nope. So you got to have your foundation sure. And when you're building your life, build it with the wind in mind, because the wind will blow. As you're planning your life, as you're making your choices and navigating your journey, as you're plotting your course, you better take into account this little fact. The wind's going to blow. There's another factor there that if you ignore it, you're absolutely not going to make your journey successful. It's going to blow. It's going to set you back sometimes. It's going to blow you off course if you ain't careful, very careful. It's going to blow things away from you. But at the same time, it's going to purify you in ways you don't even know about yet. The wind also blows the pollen and stuff from the plants around. Without it, they wouldn't survive. A lot of the pollination comes from the wind. And so life depends upon it. And it's a major factor that interferes, controls, affects our lives very much. I hope y'all understand. Let's stand. When troubles come, just remember the wind's blowing. When blessings come your way, chalk it up to the wind. Don't say, boy, I've been good and God just really blessed me. Don't ever get the idea that I've done this. I've earned this blessing. I've brought this blessing upon myself with my goodness and my good works. No, you better just realize God controls those things. Yes. And whatever you have, you better give thanks unto the Lord. And wherever you go, you better say, Lord willing. If the Lord will. You better take it all into account. Or somebody will be saying to you, like Paul said to those men on the ship. He wasn't a sailor, but they were. But he had told them, he said, sirs, you should have listened to me. I told you. And they didn't argue with him, did they? They should have listened to him. He took into account the wind, and they didn't. All right. Father, thank you for the word of God, and thank you for the little thought here tonight. Pray it be a blessing to us and a help in our lives. Help us to remember this fact. It is important, and it'll help us to on our journey if we'll remember these things. And if we'll recognize it and learn to acknowledge and recognize it as it comes along. And we know your hand in the affairs of our life. And give you the honor and the glory where it belongs. Lord, we thank you for allowing us to be here tonight. Bless your word to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.